Andrew Cuomo waives the 3-day waiting period for passing legislation, making it unconstitutional. But the state Supreme Court judge dealing opponents of the law a blow, ruling nothing unconstitutional on the part of the state. The law, called the New York SAFE Act, bans possession of high-capacity magazines and expands background checks for gun buyers and dealers. It requires registry of assault weapons and broadens that definition, and also bans internet sale of guns. I'm Kay Long, The Blaze News.
Okay, so a lot of people don't like Justin Bieber, but kicking him out of the country?
The White House responding with no comment to those who want President Barack Obama to deport Justin Bieber. Nearly 275,000 people signed an internet petition calling the Canadian-born teen idol reckless and asking Obama to revoke his green card. That's far more than required to merit an official response through the White House's We the People program. I'm Brad James, The Blaze News.
I'm Jim Parisi with news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Beautiful holiday weekend. Mid to upper 80s today. Still some clouds around. Then mostly sunny tomorrow for Easter Sunday, 92. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 85 degrees.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Dr. Kondrat has been selected to be the clinic director of the American Medical College of Homeopathy in Phoenix, Arizona. The clinic will offer world-class homeopathic and alternative services at greatly reduced rates. This clinic was established to make homeopathic and alternative care more affordable to the thousands of patients looking for alternative treatments. For more information, call the clinic at 602-864-0512. Once again, call 602-864-0512.
Tune in for Weekend Talk That Matters, only on KFNX.
Welcome to the Dream Interpretation Show with Dr. Carl Petrasso. Today, Dr. Carl takes on a current news topic with psychological insight and advice. Live better, sleep better, and dream better. Learn how the news affects you. And now, with today's topic, here is psychologist Dr. Carl Petrasso.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. I was preempted, and then I was preempted, and then I was preempted, but guess what? I'm actually back here with you this afternoon, and we're going to be doing a very lively show. I have a guest with me, Ariel, who is a licensed clinical social worker, and she's going to tell us some very interesting things today. So this is going to be a great interview with Ariel. I want you to look forward to that, and that's going to be in the next segment right after this. I just want to kind of fill you in and update you on what's been going on. As you know, this is the Dream Interpretation Show. You can call in at any time, and I will interpret your dream for you. That's at 602-277-5369. But we do talk about other things. And as I say, we have a guest here, Ariel, a licensed clinical social worker. I want to make sure that I get the whole thing in because I don't want Ariel mad at me right at the beginning. So I want to get that straight. And then, I want to thank again, AZTV Cable 137. We were at Steak 44 the other night. Fabulous restaurant. You should definitely check it out. And we had Pat McMahon, who's the host of Morning Scramble, and we had Lisa, who's the co-host, and Laura, who's the producer, and Pat's wife, Duffy, also joined us. And we had just a wonderful time there, and I want to thank the whole crew there for having me on the show and being just such gracious and wonderful people. You want to make sure that you catch the Morning Scramble on AZTV. You know, one of the things that we were talking about at the table is, what is a forensic psychologist? Because they were asking me, well, you know, what does a I hear this term all the time. I know it has something to do with crime and something to do with criminals, but I'm not exactly sure what it means. I'm going to break that down a little bit for you, and particularly with some of the cases we've been having in the news. You know, this DeVault person, if you've been following the news, just made a plea to the jury about she's trying to evade the death sentence, of course. And I want to talk about that just a little bit with you, too. I want to refresh your memory in terms of, you can call in here at 602-277-5369. Ariel will be glad to take any questions you have during the time that we have the interview going on. Also, I'm on the website, and we do podcast the show on the website, so you can listen to it anytime. If you're listening to me now, you have to run out the door, but you think it might be interested to hear what Ariel has to say, or what our dream interpretation at the end of the show is about, or what our discussion here today is, you can go to drcarl.net, drcarl.net, and I have all the updates. We might have some pictures, too, of the folks over at Morning Scramble. I'm waiting for those to come in. And you can listen to the show, drcarl.net. I'm on Facebook very simply as Carl Patrasso, C-A-R-L-P-A-T-R-A-S-S-O. And I'm always posting on Facebook a little dream interpretation. It's kind of like if you read an astrology sign, you know, there are one or two liners that tell you what the meaning of a symbol is. So if you happen to have a dream that morning and maybe the symbol matches, you can find out real quick what it means, and they're fun and entertaining. And I also post those on Twitter, and I'm at Dr. Carl Patrasso on Twitter. So you can go there and find me as well. If you want to write to me directly and tell me about the show or ask me anything you'd like, I'm at dreamexpert@AOL.com, dreamexpert@AOL.com. Well, what is a forensic psychologist? Well, you know, a forensic psychologist is someone who deals with, and I've been doing forensic work now in excess of 20 years here in the Valley. That's someone who looks at the interface between the law and psychology. What does that mean? Well, for example, you might get someone who, let's say, is paranoid, delusional. Do you remember that fella a while back in New York who shot those people on the L train? We might say there's an example of someone who is paranoid, delusional. Now, in psychology, if we see someone who's paranoid, delusional, we say right off the bat, they're mentally ill, they have a problem, you know, there's definitely something wrong with them, this is a clinical problem. But the law does not recognize that the same way. The law, in effect, says, I don't care what your psychological or psychiatric diagnosis is, I just want to know two things. Is this person able to help their attorney in their own defense, talk to their attorney, talk about the problem, talk about why they did it, understand if their attorney tells them you might go to jail for 20 years because of this, this is against the law, can they understand their attorney? And secondly, can they understand kind of the basic procedures of what's going on in a courtroom? Do they understand the judge? Do they know what a defense lawyer is? Do they know that they have the right to remain silent? Do they know what might happen to them if they plead guilty, that they give up all of their rights, some of these basic things? So now, what does a forensic psychologist have to do? Well, a forensic psychologist, like myself, first of all, you have to determine whether the person is trying to bamboozle you. Because believe me, there's a lot of people that don't have any mental illnesses, and they just don't want to go to trial. And, you know, I'll tell you, Sheriff Joe's jails are not a very pleasant place. So if you have the choice between being in jail or being in a hospital with pretty nurses and good food, where would you rather be? Well, all you have to do is act a little crazy, fool the psychologist, and you might go to the hospital instead of having to be in jail. So the first big job that I have is to, first of all, figure out, is the person really have a mental illness? The second part of that is, if they do have a mental illness, then it's kind of figuring out, well, can they work with their attorney? Do they understand what basically procedures are? And there are people who have a mental illness but are legally competent. And that's the most challenging thing that I have to do. That's the most challenging thing that a forensic psychologist has to do. Or if they have a mental illness and they don't understand things right now, if I give them medications or I give them treatment, will they be okay a month from now? Maybe they will. And so therefore you can say, well, right now this person isn't able to work with their attorney, or right now they don't understand what the procedures in a case are. But if you give them lithium and they stabilize after 30 days, they might still have a mental illness, but with the medications, they're going to be legally competent. So that's kind of what a forensic psychologist does. Now I'm going to tell you something, and I'm here to be an entertainment personality, so I'm just speaking for myself. But this little show that DeVault put on in court the other day, sobbing and apologizing and crying, and you realize that she took a hammer, a fork hammer, and turned her husband's brain into jelly. I can understand why she's crying. She's probably crying for herself. It's like this guy Pretorius in South Africa. I mean, I can hardly watch this guy sob. It's a little too much, to tell you the truth. You know, here you are, you're in bed, you're married, or you have a partner. You wake up, your partner isn't in bed with you. So what do? You get a gun and put 6 shots through the bathroom door. I mean, there he is crying and weeping and saying that he's just shocked and so sorry. So anyway, the job of a forensic psychologist, I think you know a little bit more about it. We are going to have, I am going to have, and you are going to have the treat of having Ariel A. Schiltz, a licensed clinical social worker, on the show. She's going to be coming on. I'm going to ask her, like, how did you get in this crazy business anyway? And some other questions. You can call in 602-277-5369. We'll be right back.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-410-3792 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-410-3792 to take your call now. Call 877-410-3792. That's 877-410-3792. Again, 877-410-3792.
If you're hearing this, chances are you know someone right now battling alcoholism. If so, there's a new hope with a breakthrough medical procedure at Start Fresh Executive Alcohol Recovery that eliminates alcohol cravings immediately. It's quick, convenient, and confidential. Just listen.
My name is Jeff Conway. I'm 55 years old. I've been drinking for approximately 40 years. The procedure is about a half hour, virtually painless. Woke up the next morning, and I'll tell you, virtually no desire for alcohol. I had lunch at a place with no desire to walk over to the bar and order a beer. And it's been 8.5 months now. No alcohol, no desire for alcohol, feeling good, lost 35 pounds. Work is coming back. The relationships with my family, my kids in particular, 100% improved. It is the best single thing that I've ever done in my entire life.
There's someone to answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call right now to find out more. 800-583-1105. That's 800-583-1105. Or visit StopDrinkingArizona.com. That's StopDrinkingArizona.com. Individual results may vary.
Make-A-Wish Arizona and Country Inn and Suites invite you to a grand opening celebration and silent auction at the beautifully remodeled Country Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport South at Broadway and 48th Street, Thursday, April 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. Win door prizes, enjoy food and beverages, and live entertainment. 100% of the proceeds will benefit Make-A-Wish Arizona. Enjoy food, fun, prizes, and a great cause. For more info, call 602-438-8688. That's 602-438-8688.
Phoenix Relief Center is the Valley's number one medical marijuana dispensary, conveniently located at 35th Avenue and Southern Road in the Walmart Plaza. Our professional staff takes pride in getting to know each and every patient and helping each patient find a strain that is right for them. Unlike some dispensaries, our strains are grown by people who love what they do and only want the best medicine available for you. With over 15 top shelf meds available, you are sure to find the perfect strain at Phoenix Relief Center. Search for us on leafly.com. Phoenix Relief Center.
Log on and listen live. 1100KFNX.com.
Well, as promised, I am here with Ariel A. Schultz, licensed clinical social worker. Ariel, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, thank you for coming to the show, and I really appreciate that. So I guess one of the questions I have for you is, how did you get into this crazy business? I know I'm crazy. That's how I got into this crazy business. But how did you get into this crazy business?
Well, I think we're all a little crazy. So we'll start with that.
I like that.
although I say I don't work with crazy people. I think your, segment earlier spoke a little bit more about that. I got into this business, I was interested in actually psychology in high school, and in dream interpretation was one of the items that got me interested.
That's very nice of you to say.
It was, yeah. So I kind of knew from there I wanted to major in psychology and then get into doing clinical psych practice, which I'm doing now.
Well, let me ask you this. Were you a teenager wrecked with personal problems, so you figured that you would figure it all out if only you became a psychologist?
I think that is actually probably fairly accurate.
Oh,
that
my God. Yes. I expected you to attack me. All right.
Aren't all teenagers, again, a little bit wrecked with whether it's their own illusion of what's happening or truly happening to them.
Uh-huh.
I'm somebody who always wanted to figure out not only my own problems, but help other people with
theirs. So now you were a teenager and you got interested in psychology. Where were you a teenager at? I mean, was it a small little town? Was it a big city? Where, when you got this calling to psychology, where were you living?
Well, I'm actually going to say I was in Fairfax, Virginia, which in and of itself is a huge city, D.C. area.
Uh-huh.
And I will actually go back further to tell the further truth of I was living in Hong Kong.
I want you to tell the truth by all means. I have Ariel hooked up to a truth machine.
There you go.
If she doesn't, red lights and bells go off. Okay.
That's right. Okay. We don't want it to get loud. So when I was in Hong Kong, when I was about 3 or 4, would actually be when I knew I wanted to be a therapist but didn't know what it meant, because I love to watch people smile. When they weren't smiling, it bothered me. So,
do they smile a lot in Fairfax, Virginia?
It's the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
So politically speaking, if you watch, the political people are probably not smiling a whole lot. So, yes. No.
You wanted to make them smile.
There you go. Yes, it was a good breeding ground for that.
Good. And then where did you, so now you're a teenager in Fairfax, Virginia. By the way, you can talk to Ariel at 602-277-5369. And then where did you go, like, to pursue this educationally? Did you stay in Fairfax, Virginia, or did you move somewhere else?
Well, I went to a small liberal arts college in Richmond, Virginia, where I had the opportunity to play sports as well as pursue my interest in psychology. And then from there, I went on to Bryn Mawr College, which is in the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. Got a whole nother experience culturally to add. And that was an amazing, it was an amazing school.
So really you moved around a little bit. What was amazing about Bryn Mawr?
Well,
Bryn Mawr. I'm
yeah.
from Chicago, so I say nothing. Everything I say is wrong.
That's a bit of an accent. Yeah. Well, it's not wrong,
there
right?
There you go. There's nothing. She's a good therapist already. She's reassuring me.
There you go. It was great because it had a great emphasis for teaching me how to be a good clinical therapist, as opposed to the research end of thing, which is another area somebody could go into if they wanted to. But I was interested in the human aspect.
Yeah, that's one thing traditionally, I think, in mental health and in psychology, it's been kind of a thing where you go into research and it's divided between research and clinical work. Research is where you do things like you tie people to a chair and shock them and see how many shocks before they scream. And clinical work is where you sit them in office and see how long it takes them to scream. No,
well,
just
and you get kidding. You get them to feel better after they
you
did
get
scream,
them
right?
After
you
they, yeah, that's them. A good point. Right. There you go. So, all right. So now you've got this education and you're all ready to go. What's the next thing that you did?
Well, I actually stayed in the Pennsylvania area and got another great experience working. You're probably familiar with Mnuchin and Haley and Virginia Satir, which a lot of the audience probably
yes,
is not.
I am.
But it was family systems, which is, in other words, getting a little away from the psychoanalysis, which is the person by themselves, and getting more into how people are infected in
did
their environment.
Did you have the whole family in?
I did. Yes,
okay.
That
well,
was
you're a brave soul.
Yes.
I tried that for a while. I went nuts. I mean, I just, you know, to have four people in a room arguing with each other, I mean, I started to feel like a referee. How did you handle that? Did you like it? Was it rough? I mean, where did you go with that?
I enjoy and still enjoyed the challenge of watching the dynamics and helping to see finding out where to put people in terms of the hierarchy, what's going wrong. Sometimes there's reverse roles happening where the parent is the child and the child is the parent. Uh-huh. So I enjoy the multiplicity of it all because my mind works that way.
Yeah.
So
you
yeah.
multitask.
I multitask. Yes.
Very good. Very good. I found that, I don't know if you found this, but I found that a lot of times if I stuck up for the kid, the parents got really upset with me. It was like, you know, it was walking a little bit of a tightrope because sometimes the kid is right.
Yes.
You know,
often
and,
they are. They're only the symptom of the problem of the family is what I think. And I find that too. So it's a very delicate balance and you have to go through the back door often.
Right. I came from an Italian family. We just threw spaghetti at each other and yelled over the table and kind of solved our problems that way. But it doesn't work for everybody.
No, it does not. You blend an Italian family with, say, you know, I don't know, a family that's used to things being fairly quiet, an English probably family, right?
Uh-huh.
They're a little bit quieter and distant. It would be an interesting combination.
Did you like that work? I mean, was that it? Or at some point did you sort of say, well, I'm a little tired of this. I don't want to use the term burnt out because but were you burnt out at some point and said, you know, enough of this and time to move on to something? Because I think that happens in therapy. You do a certain kind of a work for a certain amount of time and then you want to move on.
Absolutely. I think I basically went from working in the home with people doing family therapy, which was very different from going into an office setting. So I moved from that to an office setting, mm-hmm. and that was a little bit less challenging in a lot of ways. You had a lot more control over your environment, yes. And then when I moved to Arizona, that was kind of when I shifted things again. So
now, what brought you? Because you've been to Virginia and you've been to Philadelphia. And where else were you before you moved to Arizona? Virginia, Philadelphia?
Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And now, so why did you come to Arizona? What brought you to Arizona?
Well, I have relatives out in the West, not Arizona itself, but I feel a kindredship to the West Coast.
I see. Go West, young lady.
Yes,
go West.
Exactly. I saw the sign. Uh-huh. So I went, and I'm here, and I really like it a lot.
Great. How long have you been in the Valley?
I'd say about 15 years now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've been in practice for that long?
I've been in practice for 14 years.
14 years mm-hmm. here in the Valley. Wow. Very well experienced. I'm going to ask you in the next segment about how people can reach you. In the meantime, if you have a question for Ariel or you have a dream you want to interpret, we're at 602-277-5369. I'm going to ask Ariel what a licensed clinical social worker is, and then I want to talk a little bit about what she's doing right now in her practice. But we have you. Do you have children?
I do. Yes.
How many children do you have?
I have two children, and I'm sure they're listening, so they're happy to be talked about.
Oh, that's
great. I have an
11-year-old
boy and an 8-year-old girl.
Okay, and how do they feel about having a mama who's a therapist? I mean, do you always sort of say, now let's sit down and talk about this? And
I think they get tired of that sometimes, yes. Yes, they do. Mom, really? Do we have to do this again?
You're treating us like patients.
That's right. You know, I give them advice and uh-huh. they'll
and
take
they
it or leave it. No, my
it.
Clients listen a lot better than my children.
That's very good. Yeah, I bet you it's tough to, you know, do a whole thing at the office where you're talking about people and the problems they have with their kids, and then you're thinking, my kid does the same thing.
Yes, I often admit it, too, so they don't feel so alone in that.
Yes. I bet you that does help to kind of get a realistic perspective. We're going to be right back with a licensed clinical social worker, Ariel A. Schultz.
The Blaze Radio News. I'm Jim Parisi. A senator calling the Nevada rancher supporters domestic terrorists. But first, the search goes on the bottom of the Indian Ocean. Here's the Blaze Radio's John DeMaster.
That U.S. Navy robotic submarine continuing to search the bottom of the Indian Ocean for missing Malaysian Airlines Flight 370.
I appeal to everybody around the world to pray and pray hard that we find something to work on over the next couple of days.
That's Malaysia's Defense Minister Bluefin 21 covering more than 50 square miles since it begins diving into the Indian Ocean Monday.
We have pursued every possible lead presented to us at this stage, and with every passing day, the search has become more and more difficult.
The defense minister saying if nothing's identified in that area in the next couple of days, the search area may be broadened. I'm John DeMaster, The Blaze News.
While the feds were on the property of the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, Senator Harry Reid was pretty quiet. Not anymore. Here's The Blaze Radio's Chris Vermillion.
Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Harry Reid, says Clive and Bundy and his supporters are nothing more than terrorists.
These people who hold themselves out to be patriots or not. They're nothing more than domestic terrorists.
Documentary filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza is no stranger to the federal government's wrath when it disagrees with your behavior. D'Souza is in Nevada documenting what's happening on the Bundy Ranch and speaking to Megyn Kelly on Fox News.
These guys here have been facing some real domestic terror from their own government, and that's a very scary idea in America.
I'm Chris Vermillion, The Blaze News.
San Antonio, Texas police pretty amazed that a couple of 7-year-old boys forced a car thief to pull his stolen vehicle off the side of the road and let them out. They harassed the carjacker so much he just decided to let them free. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Beautiful holiday weekend. Mid to upper 80s today. Still some clouds around. Then mostly sunny tomorrow for Easter Sunday, 92. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 85 degrees.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hi, I'm Patrick Phillips, host of Pop Culture Tonight. And when we say the stars have aligned, we mean it.
I'm Wendy Williams.
Hi, this is Tony Dow.
This is Suzanne Somers.
Pop Culture Tonight, Saturdays at 5 p.m., right here on Independent Talk 1100. Hi, I'm Patrick Phillips, inviting you to join me this Saturday at 5 p.m. We're going inside Hollywood. Pop Culture Tonight. The stars have aligned. For guest information and more, log on to popculturetonight.com.
Since 1996, A Second Look at Sports has been connecting the dots between sports and scripture. A Second Look at Sports with host Dwight Allen is an outreach to sports fans around the world. Featuring Christian athletes from high school, college, and the pros. Join host Dwight Allen every Sunday evening at 8:30 p.m. as he takes a second look at sports.
NARPRO.com, take four.
If you're looking for a great mechanic, go to NARPRO.com. Why? Because all NARPRO.com members are independent, family-owned shops that get to know you, your car, and your budget. NARPRO.com, your link to great, honest auto repair.
Stay up late. Alex Jones, After Dark, nights 1 to 3 a.m. on Independent Time, 1100 KFNX, the home of the Alex Jones Show. Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm back here with Ariel A. Schultz, a licensed clinical social worker. And if you just joined us, we've actually been having a lot of fun over here talking about psychology and Ariel's background and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm glad that you're back and that you're here to join in the fun. Now, Ariel, what is a licensed clinical social worker? What is that?
It is somebody who has their master's in social work and they have gone through the many hoops to get their license.
Okay. And you're licensed in Arizona?
I am licensed in Arizona.
Anywhere else?
I was licensed in Pennsylvania and Virginia as well.
See, you look like a three-licensed person to me.
I'm not sure what that looks like, but I hope that's a compliment. Thank you.
It is a compliment. That's very good.
Good.
And what kind of now, bringing this up to date to right now, what areas do you work in? I mean, do you work in stress? Do you work in individual psychotherapy? Do you work with families? Do you work with couples? Do you emphasize anger management, drug addiction? What kinds of areas are you working in?
Okay, just all of the above of what you just said. I have a private practice in Mesa, Gilbert area, and I work with what I would say the worried well. And those are people like you and I who are going through adjustments of some kind.
Well, just speak for yourself, Ariel.
Yes.
I'm not going to say I'm among the worried well.
Okay. Well, nobody else in this room. But, and people who are dealing with divorce, they're dealing with children who have behavioral issues, marital problems. They want to repair their marriage. Individual issues of depression and anxiety are usually the most common.
Well, I can tell just by sitting here and talking to you that you're a very serious and a very soothing and a very intelligent person. So I would certainly recommend folks. Let's say that sometimes a person might come in and they just might have like one issue. They don't really want to go through big, long psychotherapy. They just might have a question about something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that it would benefit to sit down and have someone with kind of an objective viewpoint and run through the issue with them explore it a little bit and get some kind of an answer. How could people reach you? Do you have some way that, folks could call you or reach you?
Sure. There are two ways. One is my phone number, which is 480-215-5957. That's my work professional number that you can leave a message and I will get back to you about any questions you have or if you'd like to set up a session. The other is my website. It's a new website that I created with a blog on it as well that illustrates a lot of what I do and the workshops that I'm going to be doing coming up. And that website is www.themagiccouch.weebly.com.
I love that magic couch. I think that's just a great hook. And you know, it's not easy to come up with names that are interesting or that are an easy hook for people. But I think magic couch is an easy one to remember. Give us the phone number and the website one more time, okay. Ariel.
480-215-5957. www.themagiccouch.weebly.com.
I can tell you that Ariel is definitely someone who's just going to be easy to talk to and very, very helpful. Now, Ariel, are you a Rogerian? Are you a Freudian? Are you a, you beat him with a stick? I mean, what exactly approach do you use?
I'm a blend of all of those things and more. Uh-huh. I have been exposed to all of those. Rogerian being, the client-centered stuff that you and I have talked about, where I want to hear people, I want them to feel heard. But I also am very cognitive behavioral, where I help people to understand how their belief systems may be getting in the way of their goals ultimately. And then I take it sometimes to a spiritual level, which I think a lot of people are looking for and craving now.
Yes.
So that's kind of my blend. And that's what we'll be, really focusing in on with the workshops as well, which gets to the heart of all of those.
Yeah. I think the spiritual level, it's amazing the number of people in the country right now who, if they're asked, they'll say, I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Yes.
And that's kind of a whole trend that's going on. And actually, tomorrow is Easter, and there's probably a Jewish holiday coming up soon, too, because usually they kind of are close to one another. But yeah, people really have a strong spiritual bent, but they don't necessarily feel comfortable following the rules and regulations of a denomination. And spirituality is very important to therapeutic healing. Yeah. So I can see where that would be very helpful to people as well, for you to be able to touch upon that aspect of the personality. What if someone's a complete atheist? Can you talk to them, or do you just say, sorry, there's the door, and I'll see you mañana?
No, I absolutely can talk to them, and it really comes down to what they feel their meaning in life is.
Mm-hmm.
And, whether that's because they believe in a higher power or whether it's just that they understand what their purpose here, it all boils down to the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was having lunch the other day with a group of people, and I'm a spiritual person myself. But I was thinking, it's got to be, the phone might light up after I say this, so I've got to be careful. But it's kind of funny to be an atheist and feel like there's nothing afterwards, because it's so comforting to think that afterwards there's like something and we go on, because I want to go on, right? I mean, who doesn't?
Exactly.
And to feel like, well, no, that's it, and that's the end, it's got to be a very, I guess the perspective on life has to be very interesting. I've never actually sat down and talked to anybody, although I know there are members of my family that are atheists, not by carrying a sign out, but just simply by the fact that they just really don't believe there's anything, beyond or on the other side. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be an interesting perspective to have.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the people that come that have anxiety disorders, they struggle with that question.
Uh-huh.
because the ultimate thing that it, as you peel away the onion of what's making them feel anxious or fearful, relates to what happens to me when I die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do to relax? I mean, how do you relax? Do you just go home and have about five martinis, or what's your
method?
Wow,
there's just not enough alcohol in the world to relax with using alcohol, so I don't do that. Uh-huh. I very much believe in a balanced life. That's uh-huh. what I teach in my practice with my clients. So I try to practice what I preach. So I work out.
Uh-huh.
I have a good, fairly good social life with my friends.
Uh-huh.
And I have this hobby that I'm now doing, which is it sounds like it's just professional, but it's a hobby for me to work on this blog and reach uh-huh. out to people. And I travel.
Uh-huh.
And I work.
So, and now what kind of exercise do you do?
I play racquetball.
Oh, wow. That's pretty strenuous, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun. When I can't do that, my children notice.
Uh-huh. I see. So it's like, for example, when you, let's say you have a client, you want to relax, you go out and play a little racquetball, you get all inspired, and you're nice and buff and strong. And so the next client comes in the door and you say, okay, buddy, what's your problem?
That's right. Well, it might depend if it's a male or a female.
Uh-huh.
Men may take to that a little bit better than females. But no, I find ways to settle down, center myself, do a little bit of meditation, breathing, which is, again, stuff that I teach people with relaxation techniques.
Oh, okay. So,
my clients after I work out are going to get the same.
Well,
if I
come to see you, should I see you before you exercise or after?
I would say after. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll remember that okay. since I'm one of the worried normals.
Except that now my afternoons are going to get more booked. So before is good too.
Very good. You're going to want to talk to Ariel. She is just so much fun and so down to earth, and just she'd be a great therapist to have, and she'd be someone really just great to have a consultation with and talk about stuff with. And what is that number again where they can reach you, Ariel?
It's 480-215-5957.
Now, I want Ariel to stay for the final segment because I do have actually a dream interpretation to do. Someone sent in a dream, but I also want Ariel to stay here and to hang on a minute because we're having so much fun here, and I hope you are too. We're at 602-277-5369, and we're talking with a licensed clinical social worker, Ariel Schultz. We'll be right back.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
You can look fabulous. You will look fabulous. For just $25, hair again is added again with a $25 spring special. Get a haircut, blowout, style, and manicure for $25. Call 602-579-3349 and say fabulous when you schedule your appointment. Call 602-579-3349, say fabulous, and get a haircut, blowout, style, and manicure all for just $25. Look fabulous. Call Hair Again at 602-579-3349.
The folks at Fullerton Financial Planning understand how important it is to have faith in your retirement planning process. Fullerton Financial is an experienced team that's responsive and understands your need for integrity and transparency. Fullerton Financial Planning is one of the most respected financial planning firms in Arizona. Contact Stephanie Fullerton, the president of Fullerton Financial, today at 800-521-6059. That's 800-521-6059.
Join me, Shane Krauser, weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. More freedom, less government, and we the people taking on the issues of the day. That's Liberty Storm with Shane Krauser, Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m.
Profit from learning about proactive strategies for your investments. Heard Mondays at 4 p.m., the show not to miss is Empowered Investing, Strategies for Proactive Investors. That's Empowered Investing, Mondays at 4 p.m. on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Hey, I'm Don McDowell. Join me every Sunday morning, 7 to 9, for Shake, Rattle, and Troll, Arizona's only exclusive fishing show. A look at local, regional, national tournaments, recreational fishing, freshwater, saltwater, and beyond. Shake, Rattle, and Troll is brought to you by Bill Lucrecer, Jeep and Dodge, Sunday morning, 7 to 9, right here on KFNX at 1100.
Catch the Dennis Miller Show, weekdays 10 till noon, on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Visit us online at 1100kfnx.com.
Hello there. This is Dr. Carl Petrasso, and I'm back with my guest, Ariel A. Schultz, a licensed clinical social worker. We're having a lot of fun here, and I hope that you're listening in with us. We have Mark from Mesa on the line, so why don't we put Mark through, and we'd like to hear what Mark has to say.
Hi, doctors.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Mark. Do you want to talk to Ariel or to me or to both of us?
Both of you.
All righty. You're going to get two doctors for the price of one.
You can't beat that. Okay, I describe myself as a practicing Catholic, devoted to God and Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In the scriptures in the New Testament, Jesus says that if you lust after a woman in your heart, same as committing adultery if you're married, or committing fornication if you're single. Now, having said that,
yes,
I've been married 25 years.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
You've been married to the same woman for 25 years.
Yes, yes,
okay,
sir.
All right. Congratulations. That's wonderful, Mark.
Thank you. And the problem is...
Oh, there's a problem.
Well, okay, the sex life is... when I'm with my wife, I'm thinking about other women.
Uh-huh.
So, according to my understanding of committing sins of the heart and the mind, I feel like I'm cheating on my wife when I'm with my wife.
I see. Mark, I'm going to ask Ariel to also address that question. I just wanted to ask you, relative to religion, were you always very strongly religious, or was there a point in your life where suddenly religion became very important to you? So let's say, has it been that, let's say, for a long time you were kind of a practicing Catholic going along, and then all of a sudden, within the last 5 years, something happened that made you more intensely religious, or have you always been a kind of intensely religious person?
I was raised in the church, and I've always been a religious person, and very religious, yes.
Okay. And, Mark, were you ever in the seminary yourself or studied for the priesthood or anything of that nature?
No, sir.
Okay, so, and was your family a very strongly religious family?
Yes, I was, I would say so, yes.
And, does your wife share your religious convictions, Mark? Is she kind of as strongly religious as you are?
She is.
Okay.
She's involved and, she's active in the faith.
Okay, I have an answer for you. I'm going to also let Ariel talk with you a little bit and give you some insight as well. Ariel, you're talking to Mark.
Okay. Well, I think it's I would go even a different angle with it than if it were a therapy question for me. which is, you know, and you're asking more of a religious question, I think, in terms of whether it's wrong and whether you're sinning. And I believe Jesus was about forgiveness. And so what I would say from more of a therapeutic standpoint would be, what's going on in your marriage and what's happening between you and your wife that maybe you need to work on some things to improve your connection so that you, because it may be just, it's part of being human, that we, you know, that we do sin or that we do think of other people sometimes. So if it's happening more than it did, is it happening more often than it used to?
This has been going on for a long time.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess what Ariel's asking is, have there been, is this part of like marital problems you've been going through or not really? Is this something you've been going through, but there's no real marital problems between the two of you?
There's no real marital problems, and she satisfies me in that area, and she's 100% a giving woman, and the problem is, you know, I go to confession, and I believe I'm forgiven of this, but every time it happens, I go back to the same thing. I can tell you that in my past, I was addicted to pornography.
And how are you?
And I consider myself a recovering porn addict because it's always one click away. But I refrain from probably now about probably 6-7 years since I've seen a porn site or a magazine and such like this, you know. And I watch, I make sure that I'm real careful what I watch on TV or movies, because anything could spark a reaction.
Okay, I have an answer for you. I just want to know, I'm going to give Ariel a chance to check in with you one more time. I just want to know, is your wife aware that you had a problem with pornography?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And you know, it upset her. And you know, I just, it was an actual addiction, worse than any kind of addiction that because it's so easily accessible.
I'm going to let Ariel jump in here. What thoughts do you have, Ariel?
Well, how did you get treatment for your pornography? How did you stop that addiction
it's taken a lot of prayer,
okay,
and self-control,
okay,
and the grace of God is all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love my wife. I don't want to hurt her. And, mm-hmm, you know, so it's by the grace of God and the church. But it's always there in the back burner. It's always there ready to ignite. So, like I say, I got to keep a close watch on this heart of mine. That's for sure.
That's a nice phrase. I'm going to jump in here with a quick answer. I know Ariel has talked about the importance of forgiveness, and you go to confession, and so it is important that Jesus taught about forgiveness. You know, the other thing is that in the Catholic Church, they have something that they call scruples. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, if they've ever mentioned it to you in the confessional. And scruples is when a person wants to really do well and to change. But what happens is it actually then becomes a guilt trip. And every little thing they do that's not absolutely perfect, they start blaming themselves about. And a priest, I think, a minister will tell you that we all fall and fail and we're not perfect. And we can't constantly beat ourselves up. Only Jesus was perfect. If you're a Christian, that's, of course, what you believe. But sometimes we get hooked into trying to be perfect ourselves, and that can become a kind of a trap. So you have to understand that in many ways, to still feel tempted, to still feel weak, to still feel like you might fall, to have thoughts that are maybe pornographic, this is not an evil, bad thing that you need to be beating yourself up about, right, because it sounds like you've already made a tremendous amount of change. And just the fact that you recognize that you have an addiction is very important. Ariel, you're saying, why don't you make, fill in with some comments here as well for Mark?
That was very, very well put. And I think that there can be that perpetual cycle that we get into with beating ourselves up. And it often is more helpful, maybe, and you could think about this in your case, to be a little more merciful with yourself. And to, you know, you said prayer has helped. And recognizing that, you know, we all have some challenges, all of us do.
And, you know, Mark, you can either get a hold of Ariel or you can get a hold of me. I'm at drcarl.net, and Ariel is going to give you her phone number. So if you want to continue this discussion, you can. It just sounds like you've had a problem and you're getting a lot of temptations to go back to that problem. And it's really, you're kind of wound up tight about it. Not that the problem you have isn't a serious one, but you can also understand that it's okay to be human and have failings. Has it helped at all, Mark, these few minutes that we've talked?
Yes, and I really appreciate it, and I thank God for your gifts.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, we thank everyone who's been listening today. We've had Ariel Schultz on, a licensed clinical social worker. This is Dr. Carl Petrasso. I'm always here with you. Listen for our next show, because helping you is what it's all about. Thank you.
Dr. Carl Petrasso is a clinical psychologist and dream interpretation expert. For over 25 years, Dr. Carl has explained hundreds of dreams for celebrities, political figures, and people just like you. Dr. Carl is the author of the groundbreaking book, Dreaming for Success. The book tells you about the advice that is contained in your dreams and how that advice can change your life. To purchase the book, Dreaming for Success, or to schedule a consultation, visit drcarl.net. That's drcarl.net.
You cannot see it.
You can't see it, but it's there.
Many of our veterans are suffering the effects of invisible wounds.
If left untreated, post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury
can lead to homelessness, addictions,
broken marriages, and suicide.
PTSD and TBI are treatable.
No invisible wound is too mild to ignore or too severe to lose hope. Please, ask for help.